Trading at Schwab is now powered by Ameritrade, giving you even more specialized support than ever before. Like access to the trade desk, our team of passionate traders ready to tackle anything from the most complex trading questions to a simple strategy gut check. Need assistance? No problem. Get 24/7 professional answers and live help and access support by phone, email, and in-platform chat. That's how Schwab is here for you to help you trade brilliantly. Learn more at schwab.com/trading.
Hey, Game Pass or Pass subscribers and listeners, just wanted to give you a quick heads up on this one. Unfortunately, we have to use the backup audio. I know we made a joke at the beginning saying we don't know what we're doing. We know what we're doing most of the time, but unfortunately, we ran into some recording issues before we started, and we just kind of ran out of time trying to diagnose them. I got a new version of Windows installed, and Basher has got a new setup and stuff, so we're still working out some of the kinks. So unfortunately, my audio is coming from a microphone that does not really have any type of noise cancellation or anything like that. And his is just popping all over. I did my best to reduce the popping as much as I could. Trust me, it's still not the greatest, but it's significantly better than it was. We're going to get that fixed. Just wanted to give you a quick heads up. We don't always sound this bad. Hope you enjoy. Now time to take a journey to go to a paradise on this episode of Game Pass or Pass. I am Corey. I am joined. Wait a minute. I messed that up. This is game. Wait, hang on. How do we do this? I don't remember.
Welcome to another.
Do I do the intro first?
My shit just jumped up. Like, what is happening with my level? All right. Jesus Christ.
I'm keeping this in. I'm keeping all this in. Jesus we don't Christ. Know what we're doing.
All right.
We definitely haven't been gone for like 3 weeks. We definitely haven't.
You guys didn't miss a thing. You guys didn't miss a thing. You didn't play a thing. Like nothing happened in the past month.
Right. Nothing. You all are just waiting for Starfield.
Aren't we all?
Like that's truly what you're doing. So this is Game Pass or Pass, the podcast where we play games on Microsoft's Game Pass service. Tell you which games to pass on to a friend and which games to simply pass on by. I am Corey. I am joined by... Let's see. Do I go with an arcade pun or a laundry pun?
Have any of them been puns?
Maybe.
Okay.
The steam pressed man himself, Basher.
I do like a good dry cleaning. I'm a fan of that one.
Okay, so I'm gonna real talk. Is dry cleaning expensive? I've never done it.
It is. I just got all my suits dry cleaned. It's about $200.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah,
I got 200.
I got a few suits in there.
I mean, I guess, but like, what if I just like took my laundry to like a dry cleaner? Like,
yours won't be that expensive though. You put it in a bag, they'll weigh it, they'll charge your X amount. Like, yours probably be like $75. Oh,
they do it by weight.
Yeah, I took a big bag over there because I didn't dry clean my suits for a while. Did a couple of wearings back to back.
Here, what's the point? Sorry, somebody. Why do I want to dry clean things?
Because the fabric says you're supposed to. I don't know. I truly don't know. Well, why am I peeking? Huh. That's ridiculous.
Clearly, it's probably Craig. It's always Craig.
Oh, this is annoying.
It's Discord. It's Craig something. So luckily, I can try to bring it down in post. Again, we don't know what we're doing. I have no idea what we're doing. We never did. We do how many episodes? We're rapidly approaching like 150 episodes, and we still haven't gotten this right. Arcade Paradise. That's what we're here to talk about. Here are the details of this game. As I pull the window over, how does Windows 11 work? Welcome to Arcade Paradise, the 90s retro arcade adventure game. With the keys to the family laundromat, Ashley decides to transform the business and give the sleepy town of Grindstone something to get excited about. Stay one step ahead of your father manage and invest profits, and build your very own arcade paradise. Over 35 arcade games, each fully realized with its own gameplay, stories, missions, and high scores to set. Inspired by three decades of gaming, from early vector games right up to the 32-bit era. This is a very long intro, so I am going to just end it by saying, take the laundromat business made up of dull chores from washing clothes to throwing out the trash and turn it into a booming arcade with the coolest games in town, raking in all the money. This is available on PC, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X and S. This claims it has local co-op?
It does.
Okay, interesting. I can say that you do have Xbox Cloud support because I played it on console as well as PC. On Xbox Series X and S, you are going to get higher frame rate and higher fidelity. I believe it runs at a 60 frames on your X and S. I cannot comment on the Xbox One. But yeah, Arcade Paradise. Let's talk about it. I'm sorry, how long to beat? We are at 29 hours and 37 hours for completionist. Arcade Paradise. Let's talk about it.
Where do you begin with this game?
This was one of mine.
Yeah, this definitely is one of yours.
I had heard about this game. I think actually from Jeff Gerstmann. I believe he played it. This is not new. It might be new to the Xbox platform, but I believe this came out last year. It came out in August of 2022, and it was. When he described it, I didn't realize this was like a 3D game, because obviously the main course of this game are the arcade games. Like the laundromat thing is just sort of the, what do you want to call it? Connective tissue to be able to introduce new games to you. So I thought it was going to be like a 2D like pixel art thing. And then when it's like a full 3D laundromat, I was like, huh? Like,
which I'm glad it wasn't, because going into it, I had an idea, or I asked you, is this one of those indie games, you know? Right. Because I didn't want to play another one of those, but this, to my surprise, it wasn't. And I did see a headline saying excitedly, is this a new gas station simulator? I'm like, what does that mean? Like, did I miss a great gas station simulator that's on PC or something?
That's a real thing. And I think it's one of those like lawnmower simulators where it's not power wash simulator. Let's not get crazy.
Like, right. Exactly.
Apparently gas station simulator is actually pretty decent as like almost like a tycoon style game. You wouldn't think that, right? Like, it's like, this is almost like a joke, but no, apparently it's actually a decent one of those, but yes.
And this, as a simulator, is more of a, I can't say a parody, but I guess a play on a genre, if you will, because it's not trying to simulate anything per se, but whoever made this game is, they really love the old arcade scene, you know, because you start off just running a laundromat for your father. And there's this back room, and I think it has an arcade machine in there. And then over time, you start buying more and more machines until the point where you get to expand the back room. Then you get to buy more room next door. And you just turn the laundromat into a very successful arcade.
Basically, your father berated you the whole time via email. Being like, yo, nobody wants to play games. And so you have to kind of, the laundromat becomes the con, I guess you could say, of how you end up getting more games is basically like your father thinks that the arcade or the laundromat business is booming, but really what it is, it's the arcade business. But you fall and you have to run the laundromat though. Like, you got to put the clothes in, you got to dry them. It gives you scores based on how long they're sitting in the dryer, how long they're sitting in the washer. Like, it's kind of, what do we want to say? You have to plunge the toilet every now and then. It's a very kind of time wasting mini game, but they also like, there's some class there, you know, like they definitely tried to make it as gamey as possible. And it's kind of interesting to see.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's little mini games for every kind of thing you do. Like, when you take out the trash, you have to hit the meter just right and get a bonus. You know, like, and it's a lot of different stuff like that. And the first about 30, 40 minutes of this game is, the first about 30, 40 minutes of this game is just that, you know? This kind of mundane aspect of washing people's clothes, and it's just, it takes a while to, and in my opinion, a little too long to get to the point where you're buying a bunch of machines that you want to play. And yeah,
it's interesting because I think what they were going for, and I think it worked on me, but I don't think it's going to work on a lot of people, is that when I was a child, back in my day, there was a Alien versus Predator game at my mother's work. My mother worked at it like a club place. My mom's not a stripper. That's not what I meant.
Okay, that's exactly what you just painted a picture of.
She worked at, it's like a family bar place. Like, it has a bar in it, but kids can go there.
All right,
it's a lounge.
Sounding much like a stripper. Okay, right. Yep.
Yes, my mother was not a stripper. But like, I don't want to say that's how I was introduced to video games, but that was kind of my introduction to arcade games in a way. And so, like, whenever I'd go to the local mall and stuff like that, I became far more interested in arcade games. And that was kind of what started for me. It was like, I kind of had a hangout after school there. And so then you kind of start discovering these games, and you discover all the little things about them the same way you do a normal game, but it's just different because it's a stand up cabinet. It's just a different environment. It's not your home environment. I think that's what they were going for here. It's like, you're kind of like a younger kid. I can't remember, like, are you out of college or something like that? I don't remember. There seems to be like maybe you're like a business major or something like that. And the family aspect of it is sort of like, okay, like, I've got to do this mundane thing of running the laundromat. You know, like, that's how our family makes money. But then, like, you just sort of start playing with this arcade game in the back, and you're like, you know what? Like, there's something here. Like, there's a business idea here.
What is that first game they give you? Do you remember?
So it might be different every time. I'm not sure. Okay. But mine was the almost like GTA clone, like the old school GTA clone.
Yeah.
It's called like Racer Chaser or something like that. It's kind of like Pac-Man meets like those old GTA games, and you got to get the dollar signs and all that. That was the first one that I had. So, which unfortunately, in my opinion, is not the best game. It's one of the weaker ones in my opinion, but
yeah, and that's where the game can really kind of make or break a player, in my opinion, is because you get so many of those old school classics remade in with a twist, if you will. Like UFO Assault was essentially Space Invaders, I guess.
Yeah,
something called Woody's Adventure, where you just kind of, it's basically a glorified mini game. For some reason, I like that Strike Gold game a lot. I don't know why.
See, and I think that's what it is. Like, there's gonna be one that gets you, and the question is how soon does it get you? Like, if none of those games hit, because the one that got me was the stupid freaking Match 3. The stupid freaking Wood Girls Adventure or whatever. Like, and I don't know why, but it was just like, that was the one that clicked for me. And because none of these games are difficult, but they definitely have challenges that you have to get through. And that one is maybe I'm just terrible at video games, but that was when I was like, okay, like, I can get through this. And I could not stand the one that you just talked about. What was the, it's like a Dig Dug clone.
Oh, Strike Gold. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know how to play Dig Dug, and at this point, I'm too afraid to ask how. Like, I don't. Is it as simple as it sounds looks?
I think so. I mean, like, again, I didn't play Dig Dug, so like, if this is the Dig Dug clone, I think I'm pretty good at Dig Dug. That's all I can say. Attack Vector, I put too much time into.
Yeah, Attack Vector's good.
And And that's really what it's like you said, that's really what it comes down to. Oh, Fruit Crush is the game you're talking about, I think.
Let's see.
Match 3? Which is essentially Tetris?
No. No, I'm definitely no. It was definitely Wood Girls Adventure.
Oh,
so I know the one that you're.
Oh, that's the one you.
I
liked.
Know the one that you're talking. Yeah, that's the one. Like, it's not difficult, but like, I liked the aesthetic of it.
I don't know
like,
why it was, I was not good at that game.
It's match three games like that are they're not difficult to grasp, but it's not quite as deep as like a Tetris. Like Tetris, there is like real strategy and stuff that you have to learn. But this match three, it was just. I kept kind of getting a little bit further and I was like, okay, like I can do this. I need to be better. Like I need to be faster.
I'm so sorry. I'm just getting mixed up because you're saying Wood Girl Adventures. That's the wood chopping one.
No, that's Wood Gal. I think it was called.
Oh, okay. All right. So it's too many wood games. All right. Got it.
Yeah. There's like four of them, I think. Wood Gal's Adventure is literally like a match three game with like fruit and it's basically like pie ingredients and flowers and stuff like that. But as you're going through, like you start fighting new enemies and you have to like, it's almost like Pokemon battles. Like you have to like challenge these people and stuff.
It's kind of strange. That one. Yes. Okay. I did get into that one. You're right. Yep. I was a fan of that.
I was a
big fan of that.
That game is, yeah, that's one that got me. And so that was enough that like I would try other things and then eventually I would kind of find something else that I liked. But it's like, it's strange to me how simplistic some of these games can be. But this is one of the most just like realized ideas I think I've seen in a game. Like this is. The idea to take, and they basically made like, I don't know how many games it is, 30 plus old school arcade games and kind of wrapped them around this simulator, this very, very loose simulator. And I think it works. Like, I think it works pretty well. And it works so well that like, there's going to be like, they didn't try to make clones of games and like make them better. If that makes sense. They tried to tweak them because there's some games that you're just not going to like. Like I don't like light gun games. I like Time Crisis because the freaking gun does the thing. Like it makes the sound. Like that's really cool. But I think there's some of the most mundane and boring things ever.
No, you weren't a House of the Dead guy.
No,
oh, absolutely.
I don't like House of the Dead. Don't like the T2 game. I don't like Area 51. Like I just they're mundane to me. The gun never shoots where you want it to be. Like, but. The point is like that's an experience, and each one of these games feels like it's true to the experience it's basically trying to rip off.
I agree. Like, I won't spend too much time on just the games that are there, but that's essentially what the gameplay turns into at some point. Because the name of the game is to make money. And make more money and then make more money, you know, so you could buy more and more machines and live this arcade paradise, if you will. Combat 2 is probably my favorite game of all time. Yeah, I think it has 4-player co-op actually. But at least 2 players. But every day you want to buy a new machine, collect all the money from the machine, buy some more machines, and you're constantly playing new games, and to a point where it's just no longer a laundromat anymore, and you show your dad, and you don't need a laundromat, and instead you have this arcade paradise. And I don't want to sound like I'm attacking the premise, because I know it's a video game, and it's fantastical in that sense, but why not both? I mean, like, I guess, like, it's not like a laundromat doesn't make money. Like in this scenario, it's trying to make it sound like this, like the laundromat is just not worth it. But if I could build anything right now or invest in anything right now, living in a city, it would be a laundromat way before for an arcade.
Honestly, like a car wash would be something.
Exactly.
That I would invest
in. but they do a lot of cool things to keep you playing, because
on that topic, why Did a laundromat hurt somebody in that's on the development team of this game? Like, it's almost like disdain for this laundromat. No,
there's another game we might talk about here soon. Community Hood. Is that the name of it?
Commonhood.
Commonhood. Just like that game, this seems very specific. Like,
right,
someone lived a life.
Somebody had to rip off gum from a bench at a laundromat, and yeah, it has stuck with them so long that they're bitter about it.
So, like, you're right. There's definitely disdain there for a laundromat, and like, to the point where it's just no longer a laundromat. And even if it is making money, I feel like as an adult playing this game, I felt a sort of, this is all personal, I guess, felt a sort of, I didn't like the character I was playing because I felt like they had this entitlement to them. Like, I know better than my dad, who doesn't know anything, and like, you make way more money doing this. It's like, your dad seems pretty successful for a guy who's just putting laundromats left and right, and like,
he just wants you to be happy.
Yeah,
like, he wants you to be successful and you know, eat well.
Like, even your sister seems like a very successful person, to a point where she's just giving you money throughout the game for completing mundane tasks like kill 100 zombies in combat 2 or get to level 33 in Fruit Crush or something. She'll just give you money to give you these cool little upgrades, like you get to buy new sneakers so you move faster, or you get to buy new trash bags so you can put more things in it. So it's very gamey in a good way, where you get these cool little upgrades via the computer and ordering things off like eBay or some fake form of it, where you can order a book and learn how to better meditate and stuff, you know, so that way you see less trash around you have to pick up in a store and stuff like that. Like, it's really stupid and fun and quirky type of upgrades that I appreciate, and it makes you play all of the games, because there's some games I just didn't want to play, and that kind of grew on me. Like the Outrun clone. Like, I was not a big fan of that, but I'm like, you know what? I could play this for way too long at some point. But it does a good carrot on the end of the stick to keep you just kind of going day in and day out, just playing these games and ordering new machines.
It's not, for me, I think what it was is, if I'm being like completely just like, you know, like what games did I genuinely like? There's maybe only two or three. Like, Wood Gal's Adventure, really enjoyed. I enjoyed the golf one way more than I should have. I think it's actually called Wood Golf, actually. And the, oh God, what was it called?
I did not love Combat 2. It's the best game.
It's just not, you do the same thing. I don't know. The thing is, I don't know what game it's riffing. It was like the zombie game. It's called like Zombies Die 2 or something like that. It's going to bug me. Zombat, that's what it's called. Zombat 2. Like, those games I genuinely enjoyed from start to finish. But for me, what it was like, what else is in this game? Like, I want to, in not in terms of what the game I'm playing, but what other arcade machines can I get? Like, what other things have they tried to rip off? Because I could have just Googled it, right? I could have just been like, what games are in, you know, but that was the carrot on the end of the stick for me, of just like, what other things have these people done? It's very vampire survivors in that realm for me, of I want to see what else this team has done. And that was the exciting part for me. And I will say, while it does do the sort of PC building simulator thing of making the laundromat part suck less, at some point you still, it would have been nice if I could have had the option to be like, you know what, can I just like not do the laundromat part? like can I just kind of focus on the game part of this, the arcade game part of this, because that stuff It doesn't take long, but you do have to kind of stop your day. I guess you don't have to. That's where that balance comes into. If you don't have to run the laundromat, do you? Technically, you don't. You could just leave, couldn't you?
Oh, at some point, I stopped doing, and I think that's the point of it. Again, just the pure disdain for laundromats. Like at some point, you just stop doing the laundromat completely. You don't need to
do any. But you
clothing.
Still need the money, though. Like
you don't,
because like, eventually you don't. But if you want to play more games and see them faster,
right.
You do. Like so, eventually, like you do get more money, obviously, because you get a bigger arcade and you can empty the machines and stuff. But yeah, it's. I understand that that's the point. Like the point is that you're going to, you don't want to do the laundromat part. So therefore, you want to do it less and less and less, but you still have to do it. Like it's still part of your being an adult or whatever you want, you know, whatever story it's trying to tell there. But it would have been nice after like 5 or 6 hours, but can I just like not do that anymore? And I just want to see what else is here.
I mean,
that's a very minor nitpick.
I think that is the case. Like at least that was the case for me. I stopped doing laundromat stuff 100%.
Yeah, maybe I just didn't have it in me to stop doing it. I feel like I had to.
Because the money just didn't make sense, you know, because you can make more money off one cabinet than you can the entire front end of the laundromat. So I'm like, I don't need to do this anymore. And I thought that was the goal. Or maybe I'm the opposite of you and I just don't like doing my job.
Man, it's possible. It's very possible. So yeah, it's a cool little game. I don't have much bad to say about it. Like I said, it's other than like there's probably going to be stuff that you don't think is fun, and that's okay, I guess, is what I would have to say. But that's also kind of the point. Like it's not made to, like I said, it's supposed to be. Ripoff is not what I want to say, but it's supposed to be reminiscent or, you know, variations of those arcade games that you know, and that's kind of it. Like I'm never okay. Look, what's that? Puyo Puyo.
Puyo Puyo.
There's a Puyo Puyo game in here.
I like Puyo Puyo.
If my life depended on explaining how to play Puyo Puyo, I would be dead. So I will never touch that game in Arcade Paradise.
Hey, there's a whole like math based game in there somewhere, like where you drop blocks and you have to do like. It's almost like a Sudoku, but means Tetris. I have no idea what's going on.
I don't remember seeing that. Maybe I never got there. See, that's the thing is, there's still probably stuff I haven't discovered after like 20 hours of this game. I literally have put that much time into this. I got sucked into this for like 2 or 3 days straight on a weekend. It was like a long weekend too. And I was like, I just played this for like most of it. And that's... I'm surprised, I guess. I'm surprised how much I enjoyed this because while I am an arcade kid, by the time that I got to arcades, it was not these older style machines for the most part. You know, like I was around when Time Crisis 3 was new, and that was the big new game of they had the whole pedal and it was ridiculously obnoxious and loud. But I was still always curious about those older games and I would kind of check them out. But even as somebody who didn't grow up in that era where arcades were new and kind of the hot spot of the town, it still hooked me in a way that I did not anticipate, I guess.
Yeah, as someone who grew up with a bunch of them around at one point in the city, I think we had like 3 big ones here in Boston at some point. Well, at least they seemed big to us at the time. It was really nice playing a bunch of these, but at the same time, I don't know. It felt more neat than complete game in a way. I never felt like I was booting up Arcade Paradise to get to an ending, to see a completion, to it's weird. The game Arcade Paradise has less to do and less story and less involvement than every other game inside the game. Like I would boot up Arcade Paradise to play maybe Combat 2 for a little bit and just be like, all right, I'm done playing this entire game now. Like, I don't care about getting to an ending. I don't care about showing my dad anything. I got to a point where it really didn't matter to me to convert this entire operation to a great arcade. Unlike the feeling I got where I was playing something as ridiculous as Power Wash Simulator, where I'm like, wait, there's a spaceship now? Am I underwater? What's going on here? I have to see the next thing and get to the end. Like, I never got that feeling with Arcade Paradise.
Yeah, and it's, I don't know if that's a fault of the game or it's tough. I don't know if you could do that and stay true to the idea of the game, I guess. Like, if they, the end game that really that you could find is if you're an achievement person, because each game kind of has its own set of little achievements and that's, or trophies if you're a trophy hunter. I think this is on PS4 as well. I'm not entirely sure. Or PlayStation, I should say. So they had that for me. Because I'm not a trophy guy. I am an achievement guy. And so there was a couple games I was like, I want to get the achievement for this game. So that was enough to kind of keep me going. But if you're not into that, then yeah, like you're kind of, when you decide that you're done, it's probably going to be a little unsatisfying because not many of these games have an actual end to them. If that makes sense, there's no, you can finish it, but it's not, it's not like a modern game, you know, like there's not a sense of accomplishment or something like that, I guess you could say. So that's, I don't know if that's a problem though, I guess.
I mean, like, again, I agree with you. I don't say it's a problem in general, but for me, because the game Arcade Paradise, it's just like you said, the games within Arcade Paradise don't have a beginning, middle, and end. However, Arcade Paradise, the game, does. And I just never felt the sense of I need to get to that point with the game Arcade Paradise. Because at the end of the game, you get the message from the sister, I think, or the brother, whoever, and they're like, all right, 11th hour, what do you name this place? We name it. You pull back, you see the whole thing, Arcade Paradise, and credits roll, right. And then you can continue playing the mini games that are inside the game. And I'm just like, I kind of don't.
It almost is worse that that's there.
Yes.
Like yeah, the fact that they try to like bookend it. Yeah. It.
I mean, that would be my overall criticism and feeling of it. It's just that the game Arcade Paradise didn't pull me in with a beginning, middle, and end, and I just didn't get that feeling to want to complete it on that level. And then getting to the point where it's no longer a laundromat at all, and you still had to do the mundane task. It just went a little long for me.
Yeah, for sure. I think that kind of ties back into him. Like, at some point, I wanted to stop playing the game and play the games, if that makes sense.
Right.
So, yeah. But it's, again, it's a small criticism, but maybe it's bigger than small. Maybe it's more than a small criticism. I think there could be some people where they get frustrated by that because, again, obviously the whole point of the game are the mini games, are the arcade machines to see it. So if you're somebody that is like, yo, like I really want to see this and the game sort of kind of gates you in a way that's kind of annoying, or I guess it could be annoying. Yeah. So it's, I don't say it's tough, but that could be a bigger criticism for some people that are not us, I guess.
Right.
Yeah. All right. That is going to do it when it comes to Arcade Paradise. Obviously we enjoyed our time with it. I think this was a very unanimous play it. Check it out. I think even if you're, you know, in your early 20s or something like that, some of the stuff might not hit for you. But if you have a genuine sort of just like games or kind of neat little things, this is, there's still something here to appreciate for you. This isn't just for people that, you know, obviously arcades are a thing nowadays, but the weirdest thing, I went to a Dave and Buster's like a year ago. There's like a Luigi's Mansion arcade machine.
Yes.
Has anybody seen, like,
yes, we have those. Yeah, we have it here too.
It's, remember I said I don't like light gun games? What if it was a light gun game where the gun, all you had to do was just point it at the screen? Because that's Luigi's Mansion, the game. That's not arcade games, okay? My point for saying that is that that is not an arcade game. You can claim it is. Also, that Tomb Raider arcade, like, shoot 'em game, kind of okay. I was actually all right with that one. Point is, that is not an arcade to me. I'm old enough to remember when there was a three-story arcade at Indianapolis, Indiana, and you had to pay extra to get into the MechWarrior game, where you had your own little box, and you had, like, what was that game on Xbox with the giant controller? Steel Battalion. Steel Battalion. Like, you had that, you know, like, you had all the get. Back in the day, you could go to a place and do that. That's how old I am. If you have any nostalgia for that stuff, I think you could find some nostalgia here and have a good time with it. So, but all right, that's going to do it for Arcade Paradise. Check it out. Let us know what you like. We do have a, you know, I'm going to log in real quick. We had some, I know you said you're a little bit limited on time, but we're going to answer one of our questions here.
All right, let's do it. We got questions.
You're going to be doing,
we got answers
on the air typing, because this is a new version of Windows. So I have to log in to our text line. I think those were called GameWorks, I think, back in the day. Is GameWorks still around? Does anybody know?
I don't think so.
No, that sucks. I liked GameWorks. All right. Let's see here. We have one from, I think this is your friend John. Wait a minute, what is going on here? So he sent a picture, not a picture. He sent a link to Quake 2 Remastered, which just came out. I'm a Quake 2 person, so oddly, I haven't checked this out yet, though. I know I'm going to. And he says, wait a second, is this giving fans what they want, or are they being lazy? And this is in response to Quake 2 Remastered. I'm going to say, like, no, this is exactly what fans want. And I will say that as somebody who, look, I get excited for these stupid things. Like, when they re-released Doom 64, I was stoked. And Doom 64 had a new campaign in it. And that campaign made Doom 64 officially part of the canon. And it actually tied into Doom Eternal. Completely unnecessary. There's nobody that played Doom 64 and also played Doom Eternal and was just like, man, I really wish that these games were connected. You know, like, no one goes to Doom for the story. But what the stuff that they did in Quake 2, they actually added in the PlayStation and the N64 campaigns of Quake 2, because those games were actually significantly different compared to the PC version, simply because they had to redo some of the engine. And it's odd to say that the N64 and PlayStation at the time could not do what the PC was doing in Quake 2. Because if you play that today, obviously Quake 2 doesn't look that great. But at that time, it was mind blowing. As long as they take those extra steps, and they look at everything at a whole, and they say, this is Quake 2, and it's every version of Quake 2. It's everything that any... There's a chance that you have not played Quake 2 on PC, but you played Quake 2 on N64. If you're that person, you can come to this, and you can kind of get the best of both worlds. Plus, they did a new campaign for Quake 2. As a fan, I think this is more than okay. I think this is great, actually. So I don't know how I know you're not a old school for the sake of new school kind of person, but I'm curious how you feel about it.
I'm a fan of arena shooters in general. Like, it's just adding on all the campaign stuff is all sweet and dandy. But when it comes to Quake, I'm like, I'm down. I jump into Quake to frag with some friends, you know. I'm glad you were here to give all that pertinent information, because I think that's very necessary to the fact that it's remastered in such a great way. And I do appreciate the fact that they put it out there with the added care, especially considering the Red Dead Redemption fiasco that we're dealing with.
To me, that's the total antithesis of this. Like, that is not only the wrong way to do it, that's the way that there's legitimate beef on that, of just like, no, like, you not only did you mishandle this, like, you were trying to extort people at this point.
It's theft.
Right. Like, there is absolutely silly. But maybe that's being a little bit extreme, because you know someone out there is playing it right now.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, and they're dumb. That said, I truly respect the, let's put it out there, let's put the effort into it, and I'm sorry, hold on a second. I just heard or felt a lot of shaking and stomping in here. Where was I? So I truly respect the time and effort they put into enhancing this remastered edition and putting it out there to see. And I hope it's because, I hope it's for, to see interest in a new Quake, in a vein of our new Doom, you know, because that's what I would really want.
It's got to be, right? Like, they did this last year with Quake 1, now doing Quake 2. Like, we know they're not doing a Doom game. So
it has to be Quake coming out, and that would be amazing. So, me personally, to answer the question, are they being lazy? I don't think they're being lazy. I think they're being strategic. They're putting this out there. They're drumming up some hype. This is my own headcanon. They're drumming up hype and saying, here's Quake 1, here's Quake 2, here's Quake 3, and here's the brand new Quake game that we're just going to call Quake, because you know that's what they're going to call it, just Quake.
Probably.
And that's what I'm really looking forward to. Again, I appreciate that they put this out. I'm never going to touch it. I don't care enough to. It's some 1991 game. I don't care.
Quake 2 came out,
I respected it. I don't care.
A Voodoo extreme graphics card just to play the game at 30 frames a second. Okay.
You playing 30 now, frames a second? Like, Jesus.
Quake 2 is not just a game.
That's almost as high as Red Dead Redemption.
It's more, actually. I'm with you. Like, I don't think that you can do this with many games, though, is what I will say. There are very few pieces of, you know, moments in gaming that can pull this off. I always wonder, like, what if Nintendo came out tomorrow and said, hey, we've remade Mario, the original Mario.
That would be sweet.
See, like, for me, that is absolutely nothing. And it's just like, I'm just like, why do I care? So it's strange to me that, like, there's certain games it works with and certain ones that
it
does not.
Yeah.
And I think this is one that it does. Oddly enough, I don't think that the first Quake, it works nearly as well. And there, you know, there, Quake is a very.
No, you need Quake 2 Arena, right? Just
Quake 3 Arena.
Yeah, Quake 3 Arena. Yeah, that's what you need. And that's, again, that's what I. Are we still connected here? I heard a beat.
Yeah.
No, you're good. And again, that's what I'm looking forward to. That's what's got me hype, is the return of the one of the kings of the arena shooter, because. It's like you said, it works for certain games. I mean, this should be happening for one of my favorites, Unreal Tournament. Like, I
wish.
I need more of these for Unreal Tournament. Like, please remaster this. Please enhance this. Please re-release these games, because they are phenomenal freaking games.
On that topic, Night Dive has expressed interest in redoing that original Unreal. I don't think Epic will let them, but if anyone should do it, it should be Night Dive.
They won't let them, sure. But someone needs, like, it's absolutely amazing. Like, so this is one of those rare occasions where you give the fans what they want and it's not lazy.
Right. It reminds me, like, so when those original Doom ports, so they ported Doom to the 360 pretty good game, pretty good port, the Doom 1 and Doom 2. And then they redid those for the Xbox One and PlayStation 4. They were bad. Like, they were straight up bad versions of the game, to where even the music wasn't playing at the right speed. Like, how? This is Doom. It literally runs on thermostats, and you couldn't take the time to make sure that it was done correctly. Like, they eventually did go back and fix it. And not only did they fix it, but they added the support for mods. Like, it's amazing. The full Doom kernel and engine, I can actually just go on my phone. I have a phone that is literally a Doom phone, and I have tons and tons of map packs from the community, and it just works on the phone. All I have to do is I just have to place it in the mods folder, and it works effortlessly. The stuff that you got
to
do.
If they want to print free money, just free money, just print free money, get to the point where they release the new Quake, just called Quake, because again, that's what it's going to be called, and then do that. Here's the, like, build your own maps, put them online, and just go with your friends. It's
they
free
tried
money,
that.
Guys. This is free
they,
money.
They tried that with SnapMap. SnapMap was interesting. But
yeah, I don't think they did it the right way with SnapMap, right. But
what I will say is SnapMap, out of everything that they did with those Doom reboots, SnapMap was by far, I think, the most, I want to say creative because that's not what I want to say, the most out of left field thing, because it is, but it isn't, right? Because Doom mods are still being made today. Like, there's one that's called my friend's house or something like that. That's truly crazy. It's one of the craziest mods I've ever seen for a game, and people are still doing it. So it's almost like they've tapped into that and being like, people want to make Doom maps. So what if we gave them the ability to sort of like snap them together? And it's like, that's a great idea, but at the same time, it's also the worst idea I've
right.
ever heard.
Like, no.
It's just like, wait a minute. Like, no, nobody's going to do this. Like, it's like when Sony invested 10 years into Dreams. It's just like, why? Why would you do this? Like, I don't know. All right. So, yes, thank you for the write-in. If you want to write in, 574-651-9256. We are always willing to listen to what you like about the show, what you don't like about the show. Tell us about your favorite pizza. I don't care. We'll talk about it on the air. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of Game Pass or Pass. On the docket, Starfield is right around the corner, so we obviously will be talking about that. We played Common Hood. We also played The Big Con. We also played... There's one other game. What am I forgetting?
Hey, we still have Ravenlock on the docket.
Ravenlock, there's another game that we talked about for like 8 months and we just never recorded it. I think that's going to be Ravenlock. I think Ravenlock is the new version of that.
I still got Darkest Dungeon. I got some my furry games.
That's there. What it was, yeah. That's I can't remember the name of it, but I did play
Fuga?
Through quite a bit of
Fuga
that.
2?
Yeah, Fuga 2.
Fuga 2. There's the other
I played
one.
The original.
There's another furry game that I played through. The one with he has a big arm. I forgot the name of it.
Fist?
Yes, Fist.
So that looked interesting to me that I want to play it. But also, we cannot forget. You know what comes out next week? Of Stars.
Oh,
comes out
that's right.
Next week. That is a day one game on Game Pass. We both kickstarted that game. It's the only game I've ever kickstarted.
Which is the I want my money back, by the way. I don't know it's coming straight to Game Pass. I was playing it for free anyway, but that's
I meant to change my pre-order to that. I had it on Xbox. I was like, I'll get it on PC just to have it. Obviously it'll be on Game Pass PC, but I was like, point is I was gonna own it. So I forgot to do that, so I now will have a copy.
So we're skipping all the games we played for the past 3 months, and we're going to do Sea of Stars instead.
Look, I'm going to say it right now. Sea of Stars, probably will like it more than Starfield. I'm just saying.
Whoa.
Saying. I'm looking forward more to Sea of Stars than I am Starfield. Come at me, bro.
What? Actually, I don't think you are. Like, is this CSR more of an RPG than ever?
Anything that team will do after The Messenger, I have to see. And legitimately, the thing I'm most excited about is the soundtrack.
You're right. Yeah, the soundtrack's on a bang.
Yeah. So the thing is I also feel like I think I'm ready for this game, if that makes sense. Dude, after playing Final Fantasy 16,
I would be very surprised if you, because at this point,
Chrono Trigger person.
At this point, it will truly just be aesthetic for you. If it comes from, if you like this game, and the other ones haven't hit, it would have to be the aesthetic that wins you, that him wins you over in these types of games.
I said, something about this feels like this is going to be the one that speaks to me. Like, I don't know what it's going to be. I think it's going to be the entire package. And I think part of it, though, too, is that it's new. Like, everyone's got like, oh, you got to play Chrono Trigger. You got like, okay, I played Chrono Trigger finally. It's like, yeah, it's fine. It's good. Like, it's totally good. But I came to that game 20 years late, obviously. So I wasn't there, whatever you want to say. I'm here for this one. Not that Sea of Stars is like going to blow up or whatever, but there's no hype behind it. There's no like.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever behind it. So it's like, I'm ready for it. I'm ready for an RPG that's not
a turn
Baldur's Gate.
RPG,
right.
JRPG. It's not because I think the best one on Game Pass right now, actually just one of the best ones in general, is Chained Echoes. And I think Sea of Stars is going to do what Chained Echoes does, but like you said, new, because Chain Echoes is such a love letter to the old school that it's almost too old school. Where this, the whole aesthetic with Sea of Stars, the whole mechanics, everything seems upgraded. Seems not upgraded, but seems modern.
Right.
So I'm a fan.
So the twist that they put on the Ninja Gaiden sort of Castlevania design of Messenger, absolutely fantastic. So I'm excited to see what they do. So even though, like I said, I've played Chrono Trigger, but it doesn't speak to me. And that's the same thing. Like, I am not a Ninja Gaiden or even Castlevania person. I'm really not. But I absolutely love The Messenger. You know, it was something about it just spoke to me. Whatever they do, that game spoke to me. So I'm extremely excited to play that one. So, all right, that's going to do it. We've been talking way too long. We'll see you next time with one of those games. And somewhere we'll have Starfield in between.
Good day, sirs.
And we are out.
The United States Border Patrol has exciting and rewarding career opportunities with the nation's largest law enforcement organization. Border Patrol agents enjoy great pay, outstanding federal benefits, and up to $20,000 in recruitment incentives. If you are looking for a way to serve something greater than yourself, consider the U.S. Border Patrol. Learn more online at cbp.gov/careers/USBP. That's cbp.gov/careers/USBP.